Paul comes to deal with that in this particular passage in his letter to Timothy. Timothy had been put in charge of perhaps one of the largest churches that there has ever been outside the modern era, that church at Ephesus. It's seen at some stages to have had over 50,000 members. So it was a great charge for a young man who was not a Jew, who had not been brought up in the Word of God. And yet, Paul had trained him and put him in charge of the church at Ephesus. One of the things that has come in the early church was a problem that occurred with the distribution of food, with the food bank. A simple matter of running a food bank, of distributed food daily to widows who were in need. Widows who were divided into two groups. Some were Jewish widows who had come through the church, and others were Gentile widows, Greek widows. And the apostles dealt with the food bank. But the problem was that there was a problem. It had become a flashpoint, as one group of the Greek widows complained that the Jewish widows in the church were getting a better deal when it came to the food being distributed by the apostles. And the Greek widows were being overlooked. So, in that early church, which we look on and say how wonderful it was, well, in some respects, yes, but there were these points, flashpoints. A time of discrimination and disharmony in the church, as the Greek widows complained that they were getting a raw deal. And the apostles had to sort it out, because the real problem was that the apostles were doing too much. And that's very often the problem with leadership. Leaders tend to do too much. They tend to do it all themselves. They've got to be in charge of things. They've got to have things under their control. Instead of organization of the leadership, discrimination was happening due to the apostles doing everything themselves, ignoring the priorities that were down to them. And that really is the problem, that when the leaders take on too much, they ignore what God has really called them to do. So as the apostles considered the situation, they realized that they had been pushing their priorities to one side, and as a result, a simple matter of distributing daily food to one group of widows was being mishandled, and it appeared to be far more serious matter of racial discrimination was occurring, with disharmony that this was causing. The apostles realized that their responsibility of prayer and preaching was being overlooked because they were running the food bank, which they should never have been doing. The church was therefore asked to choose seven men to run the food bank so it was run properly, and the apostles were able to attend to their priorities of prayer and preaching. And as that happened, you can read about that in Acts chapter 6 and beyond. How those men were used by God, not only in dealing with the food bank, but also in preaching and in evangelism. And so to Ephesus. The church with its new young pastor, Timothy. There was a need for adequate leaders to run the church at Ephesus. As I said, they became the largest church in modern times, until modern times. The need that adequate leadership was needed is therefore apparent. And so Paul outlines this in his first letter to Timothy, how leadership within the church should be handled. It's quite interesting that here was Timothy, a young man, untrained in his youth in scripture. Paul had had a Jewish upbringing, of course. And had been schooled in the word of God, but not so Timothy, and he needed instruction. He needed to be taught how to lead, how leadership within the church should be handled. And Paul organizes the leadership in three sections. The pastor or minister or overseer or elder, and then deacons, and then the church itself. And so this structure has become the norm in a variety of situations, which has come down to us today, with this pattern in 1 Timothy being what is the particular situation that we have here in Cove Baptist Church today. This leadership structure has been applied, however loosely, since the first century by Christian churches. We should look briefly at what 1 Timothy 3 says about leadership within the church, about overseers, ministers, elders, about deacons, and about the church itself. Of course, outside of that, there were two other groups. There were the apostles, who oversaw the whole church. And there were pastors and ministers chosen by the Holy Spirit. Now, Timothy was an interesting choice because he was Greek. He was a Greek man brought up in the Greek tradition, in the church, but he had the blessing of a grandmother and a mother who were Christian, who had trained him in the things of God. And then he had come into contact with Paul at Ephesus, being trained again for that leadership role. And Paul had used him on several occasions. We learn of one in Corinthia, in the Corinthian church. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it tells how Paul sent Timothy, as it were, a hatchet man, to the church after Paul had left that church. He sent Timothy to deal with problems that had arisen in the Corinthian church. And that was something of the background that Timothy had. He'd been used by Paul in various situations of leadership. Now to be the pastor, the leader of the church, and to appoint other leaders in the church, so that it carried on in a spiritual way. Overseers. No one is quite sure what that meant. The actual word is bishop, of course, had particular connotations for us today, as a bishop is really a word that has been attached to leadership within the Anglican Church. There was a calling. Leaders were not only chosen, but they were called by God to lead within the church. And when you read the situation of leadership, what are they? Is it just that they decided that they ought to be leaders? Or was it that they were just popular people within the church? Clearly, Paul appoints pastors, ministers, and elders in the churches that he forms. And I think that elder is the best describes the position that Paul appoints to those men, certainly at Ephesus, to lead within the church. And we know that there were elders within the church at Ephesus. You can read that in the story of the church at Ephesus. When Paul leaves the church, and when it comes under the control of Timothy, it talks about elders saying goodbye to Paul. So here is Timothy, in charge of a large, growing church. Having to appoint elders, having to appoint deacons, having to appoint leadership within the church. Look at the list of things that these elders or overseers had to be in charge of. Must be above reproach. Or maybe you look at your life and you look at the life of others and you have question marks about yourself, maybe, and about others. His life must be above reproach. It must show the characteristics of his Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be faithful in marriage. Now, you see, polygamy was allowed in Judaism, but it was not known so much in the Roman Empire, in the Gentile life around them. Be faithful in marriage, one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent or but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. We only have to look at the situation that has occurred perhaps in places like the USA, where you have those radio ministries which are constantly asking for money. And I think of one man in particular who was asked for money so that he might have an amazing $100 million plane to carry him about his ministry within the world. Must manage their own family well and children well. And have proper respect within that family not to be a recent convert, not to be someone who has just recently come into trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, lest they come under the same heading or the same failure as Satan himself, falling to the temptation of pride, good reputation with outsiders. What does it speak to overall? I don't know, if you look at someone and put all those things together and say, well, this is what I want as a leader. Well, I think all our leaders would walk out the door tomorrow. Because quite frankly, none of us really looks the part. It reminds us that only the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Spirit in our lives can make us fit to serve him as elders, as deacons, as pastors, as anything in the church. He alone can do that. And it gives leaders tick list, if you like, here in Timothy, of what they must be like. And what a challenge that is for any leader when you read this. It calls for humility. Because no one can say, well, yeah, I've got to be a leader because I'm such a wonderful person. Because when you get to this list, you look at it and you think, well, I just don't know. It speaks of the humility that leader must have. Without that humility, who is able to serve? When Jesus himself says, I am among you as one who serves, it speaks of his humility. And the question of leadership is one of, is that person a person of humility? One who is a picture and pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're looking for a leader or an elder or a deacon, the question is not, well, is he a nice person? Or do I get on well with him? But what's his humility like? Is he a humble person? Does he follow Jesus in that way? Because that seems to be the characteristic which shines through these words of Paul here to Timothy. And deacons, the word deacon has the basic root of service. And we notice from Acts chapter 6 that the deacons there were chosen by the congregation, worthy of respect, sincere, temperate, having a grip of matters of finance, knowing the faith inside and out, having a clear conscience, being tried, being tested, and coming through pure and blameless And the interesting thing here, of course, is that it speaks of women. And there's no doubt that as we read the New Testament scriptures, that women did in fact serve as leaders within the church, as deacons. Temperate and trustworthy in everything, faithful to a wife, managing children and household well. Again, those words about deacons speak of humility, of how their reaction is with other people, how their relations are with other people. They must be humble. Why does Paul write like this? Well, we read, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing to you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. In other words, true leadership is going to illuminate the very nature of Christ within the church. It's God's household. It's God's family. The church of the living God. It's a pillar. It's something which stands firm and upholds the truth of God. Foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. And Paul says here, when I come to look at the leadership within the church, there's a mystery here, a mystery of God's leading within the people of the church to bring about those people whom he has called to lead, that they are humble. But there's not a question about their faith. There's not a question about their standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. How they live should reveal something of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will only do so in the life of the church, if it is led by such people. And it will only do so to bring those who show their characteristics that Jesus displayed while here on earth. The truth of the scriptures is a vital thing. And it's clear here that the leaders of the church must uphold those scriptures and the truth of those scriptures that will shine through and show the church as a true fellowship, a true household of the living God. Socially, it must uphold that truth, the pillar, upholding the truth of God in Scripture. It must be a habitation of the living God. No wonder this message to Timothy is so powerfully demanding. A leadership that is adequate, an adequate leadership, leading and choosing those who have to fulfill that role of elders and deacons. The church reflects the glory of Christ in all his risen powers The church is the Lord Jesus Christ on a visible display here in its leadership. And the leaders must display the nature and glory of the risen Christ. What a challenge that is. And it must be so because the people must also show that picture of the risen Christ. They must show it as the body of Christ. Read 1 Corinthians 12, the picture of the body of Christ being led adequately, being gifted sufficiently, being led in humility. The members of the church must remember that popularity is never a qualification for leadership. To choose a leader is a sacred and serious responsibility. Those who aspire to leadership in the church must never assume that they are better than others, but need to walk and lead in humility. Look at what it says about the church. And what it says about the church is in fact a picture of Christ, isn't it? He appeared in the body. Who is that? Jesus. Was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and then taken up into glory. What a picture of Jesus that is. And Paul says that's the picture of the church. The church where those who are chosen as leaders serve in all humility. Must be able to say with Jesus, we are among you as those who serve. Such is God's will and purpose for the church. Of course, to go into each of the qualifications that Paul writes down here for Timothy about these people who are called to leadership, would take a long time. The interesting thing is, of course, is that these are pictures which should not be fulfilled within the leadership because that leadership within the church must be different from the leadership within the world, not given to drunkenness. Because in those times when Paul was ministering, when the churches were being founded, drunkenness was a constant problem. Or it was a constant thing that was available within the leaders. Of Gentile gods and their following. And Paul says, you can't be like the people around you. You've got to be different. Your lives must be different. Your lives must reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in all his grace and mercy and humility. And without that, the church is sunk. And quite often in these days, leaders are chosen within the church, not because of their spiritual qualities, but because of their human or normal human living qualifications, such as they have accountancy degrees. They have this qualification, that qualification, the other qualification. And the church looks to them and says, yes, those are the people we want. Paul writes to Timothy and says, here's the qualifications. People who are called by God, people who are chosen by God, people who are committed to God, people who reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, and that glory is reflected in their humility. But they are among you as those who serve, and we look for that in our leadership today within the church. And we in the church need to be praying for the leaders, that they fulfill that ministry among the people and are not there simply because they have really great qualifications. They've got the right degrees or the right qualification, the right accountancy degree, or whatever it is. Are they humble? Are they following the life of Jesus? Well, only you know that, and only those who serve know that. It's a challenge which we must live up to in the church. Because if we don't, then those outside will never see a true picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will never come to worship him, will never come to offer their lives to him. They'll never come to be saved. Such is the call of leadership. May we be those who are humble and holy within the church, to give glory to the name of Jesus in all we are and do. This is what Jesus wants of us. This is what he demands of us through his word. Let's follow and obey him and be used by him to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.